sought me, and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
He loved me and I knew him,
and all my love
is you. He got me to victory in the
Come on, hey! And do you believe he's mighty? Do you believe he's fighting for you? If you do, I want you to clap really loud. Hey. I want you to raise him up right now. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hey, one, two. Sing like this.
Sing, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated.
Declared, I'm chosen.
I am who you say I am.
victory in the house this morning. Amen? Amen. As we were singing those songs, I couldn't help but think to really get into our spirits here this morning that they're not just words that we're singing, but it's the truth. Amen? That God does fight for you. God is on your side. I mean, this is good news. You should have big smiles on your faces here this morning. That God fights for you. He is on your side. You do not have to go through the things in this world on your own. Amen? That you are chosen. That you are a child of God. That you have purpose. That God has something specific for every single one of you that are here this morning. Maybe you don't think that way about yourself, but I just want to tell you that the Word of God says that you are chosen, that you have a purpose, that you are a child of God. Amen. If that's you in this place, just lift up your hands and begin to thank Him. Father, we thank you that we are chosen. God, that we don't have to go through the mundane, but God, we can look forward to what you have for us. And we know that it's good things in store. God, every good thing comes from you. Lord, I pray that you help us to receive that here this morning. God, that we don't have to come in here and be down, but Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength this morning. The joy of the Lord is everyone's strength here this morning. God, I thank you that you remind them of what you've called them to do, that they don't forget what you have in store for them. God, we thank you so much for meeting us here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can have a seat here this morning. We are so thankful that you are joining us here today. If this is your first time, we consider you our guest. So in front of you, in the seat back in front of you, you will find a card that looks like this. We want you to take that, fill it out, and put it in the offering bucket as they come this morning in just a few minutes. We have a few announcements for you all this morning. So I wanted to start with our winter coat drive. And I can tell you that there are so many of you that have brought in winter coats. It's amazing to see. Out in the foyer, there are a couple boxes where you can place them. Have any of you been able to check out all the coats that are out there? There's so many of them. And we just want to say thank you to every single... Yeah, you can give yourselves a round of applause. It's wonderful to go out to the schools and to be able to take these coats and with all the new tags on them and just the expression on everybody's face when we walk through. So I look forward to doing that in the next few weeks. So make sure you just continue to bring those in. The second thing is Kids on the Move Fall Fest is happening this Saturday. How many of you have kiddos that are out at Kids on the Move right now? Wow, that's a lot of hands that go up. And let me tell you, this is fun for the entire family. This is not just for the kids, because parents, I see you every year just eating all that candy, all that good stuff, making your kids play those games so you can have more candy. And I think we're all culprits of that, right? We like the candy too. So it's going to be a great time. It starts at 5 and it goes until 8 o'clock. It's out in the Epic Center. And this year we're going to be doing our awesome hayride, which will take place, I think, over on this end of the campus. So it's going to be a great time. So make sure your kids are dressed up in their fun costumes and come and enjoy an evening with us. Veterans Day is coming up here soon, November 11th, and we would like to honor our veterans here in the church with a lunch directly following the morning service that day. So we would like for you to sign up for that. And that is at the Information Center out in the lobby. And the other thing is, too, you could check us out online at cchurch11a.info. So that's all I have for announcements here this morning. If the ushers would like to come down, we're going to take up this morning's tithe and offerings. And as I was announcing all of those things that we're going to be doing, it seems like every single week there's always more that's going on. And that's just because of your faithfulness to the church. When you give here this morning for your tithe and your offerings, you see that we're taking that and we're going out into the community and all over the state of Maine. I'm so excited for what God is doing here. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to just bless this offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you are doing. I thank you for every person that's in this place. God, I just pray an extra blessing on them and on their family. God, we are thankful for what you're doing in this church and every family's lives. God, we know that it's just going to get better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who are born also promise that no power in hell will ever be able to stop. When we are bringing hope to the hopeless, when we're bringing help to the poor, when we're training leaders for ministry, we are building His church. In 2019, we're going to continue our momentum of reaching locally and globally through our Project 19. Over 16% of Maine homes are struggling with hunger, but we want to do something about that. Safe Place Food Pantry this year will give out over 550 tons of food. We'll be able to minister to over 700 families in 2019. Plus, 70 children will go home with a backpack full of food each weekend during the school year. Fusion is our television outreach ministry. Every day through WABI, CW, KISS 94, and Facebook, we are connecting with over 12,000 homes right here in the state of Maine. In 2019, we're going to partner with Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's going to go to Alaska and minister to people who have never heard the gospel before. He'll travel to some of the most remote regions to bring the hope of Christ. In 2019, we're going to partner with Nate Pimentel as he goes to Chennai, India. There he'll hold an outdoor crusade in a city of over 10 million people. Faith Bible College International is becoming one of North America's premier Pentecostal Bible colleges. Students are coming from all over the world being trained for ministry. We want to make sure that we can add to the scholarship fund so that everyone that God calls gets an excellent training experience. Like I said, Jesus promised to build His church, and nothing is going to stop it. We are so grateful for the opportunity that God has given the Charleston Church. For in 2019, we become one church in two locations. We will gather for worship right here in Charleston, and we're going to gather with another congregation in Sullivan. So we're Charleston Church, Charleston, Maine, and Charleston Church down east. We believe a revival is going to take place. We believe that every community in the state of Maine deserves a spirit-filled, soul-winning church. We're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to reach the orphans in Haiti. Orphans are really close to the heart of God. This coming year, we'll give out over 83,000 meals. We'll continue to see the work that we started this past year go forward. We're going to build a building that is large enough for 500 people to gather for worship, and it will be a feeding center. Together, we are able to support and make the kingdom grow through the doors that God has opened up for us. Thank you so much for partnering with us. 2019 is going to be the greatest year of ministry we've ever had.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, God is so good. Makes you just kind of want to get up and do something, don't it? Amen. Thank God. Thank you, Joel. Praise God. What a beautiful day to be in God's house. We're so excited about what He's doing. And next Sunday, we'll be giving you these commitment cards. Over this past year, people have made commitments. And next Sunday will be the commitment day. I'm ringing. And also, when you're leaving today, you'll get one of these flyers that detail more of what we talked to you about today. My wife is actually in Sullivan today preaching, and that's awesome. She will ruin it for anybody else that tries to go after her. It's not fair to anybody else, but we're so grateful for what God is doing. Tonight, the Haiti team that just got back last week, maybe a dozen of our folks that went down there, will be giving about a 10 to 15 minute report tonight. And it's just going to be a great night. They'll be preaching. You're missing it if you don't get back on Sunday night. If you can, get here. I heard that Senator Paul and Patricia Davis are here. Where are you, Senator? Yeah, please stand. Let's welcome Senator Paul and Patricia with us today. God bless you. Love them, and always glad when they get to visit with us. And how many of you got some absentee ballots in the mail this week? If you got them and you don't think you can get to the polls that day, you send that in this week, okay? We are all required to vote. We're all required to vote. Whether which side of the aisle you vote, we're all required to vote, and we're all required to vote according to the Bible standards. And so I would encourage you to do that. All right.
On the Veterans Day, I just want to make note, somebody mentioned earlier, the spouses are available, are invited to come to that. A spouse is invited, your current spouse is invited to join you for that. And that's not just for those, I know, those, I just have to keep moving. Those who have served, but that's for those of you that are enlisted now. But we need you to get a ticket. Steve Hansen is going to be putting on a big barbecue for that for us that day. And if you haven't been to a Steve Hansen barbecue, you're way too thin. So we're going to fatten you up. So that's for all those who have served and those who are enlisted who are serving. There'll be a brass band there, I heard. Is that right, Heather? We're working on it. Working on having a brass band in that service. We're working on a live stream, I think, Lindsay. We're working on that with Tim, and we're hoping that we can get that set up. So for that, it's just going to be a big day. Veterans Day is going to be a great time together, okay? And I think that's about, I wrote down, I memorized it all, but I wrote it down. That's it. Let's stand together and open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, if you would, please. Matthew, praise God. So anyways, veterans, get your tickets because we have limited room in the fellowship hall. And if you've not been by the fellowship hall to see the new renovation, you've got to get there right off. Looks fantastic. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you lost weight? Go ahead. Just ask him. Have you lost weight? Husbands, if you asked your wife that, you're dumber than you look. You really are dumber than you look. Don't do that next time. I set you up. All right? Don't do that next time. You turn to your wife and say, go ahead, husbands, turn to your wife and say, man, you've never looked better. Go ahead. Go ahead, tell them right now. You just made up for anything dumb you said all week long. You've never looked better. Amen. And if you see what you think could be a future spouse, go ahead and tell them before you leave. You have never looked better. You have never looked better. All right. Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How about cooking something up? Oh, you're a bunch of heathens. You are heathens. You need more FM 88. That's what you need. In Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Verse 36. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Verse 38. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Jesus, please help me today. Help us today. Anoint us. We want to make a difference. We are, but we want to do better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Really, really, I'm going to press this with us today. It is vital that we realize as part of being a Christian, a follower of Christ, we carry his desires. And his desires are that we be make a difference. A Christian should be a soul winner just like heat accompanies fire. You will not have a fire without heat, and we must not be Christians without soul winning. And so, if we're going to make a difference, which we want to make, how many understand Maine needs some changes? Not just needs it, I believe the right word would be requires it, demands it. Some of your communities demand change. Some of your families, some of your workplaces, some of your business is in a situation that if something doesn't change, a whole lot more pain is going to come. And when I think about that, I think, Lord, how in the world can we do it? There's so many organizations that are trying, and it seems like, you know, you just hear that, you watch the news, and it's the same problem, just a different day. And so I began to study Matthew chapter 9, and began to see that I would have to admit, would you not admit, Jesus did a pretty good job. I'm going to try that again because he is watching. I think Jesus did a pretty good job. I think he's still doing a pretty good job. So I don't want us to do church the way we want to do it. I don't want to do ministry the way we like it done. I want to do ministry and be what Christ wants us to be because he said it would be done that way. And so I want to just go through a few things here, real simple, just real simple. If you want notes, they're at C Church 11A. But first of all, I want you to see, first of all, what was Jesus' ministry? Jesus' ministry was teaching, preaching, and healing. That's what he did. That is his mode of operation. You read it in verse 35. He was everywhere he went, he was teaching. Everywhere he went, he was preaching. Everywhere he was going, people were getting healed. He was teaching. There's more information available now than ever before. But how many of you find it hard to find the correct information? We've got more of it, but it's hard to know what of it is right. The Bible says people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And I would encourage us as believers in Christ not to be satisfied with where we're at right now. We are not only to be followers of Christ, we are to be learners of Christ. And if all you ever get spiritually fed is when somebody hears on this platform Sunday morning or Sunday night or a first Wednesday, you're not fully filled to the capacity that God wants you to be in. That's why God, in the Ten Commandments, says every 6 days you give one day to me. And that day you get taught and preached to. It's the teaching. It's the preaching. Now, I'm afraid that preachers have done a terrible job to that word preaching. Because when people hear the word preaching, many in our culture hear that we say preaching, they hear, oh, nagging, judging, criticizing. And I appreciate pastors that are trying to curtail their wording and they say, well, we're having a talk today, or we're having a session today, or we're having a lesson today. But I'm not ashamed to go back to what Jesus did. When he preached, it was not nagging, judging, or criticizing. It was making an announcement that your pain was caused by hell, but the devil is defeated and Jesus Christ is alive. That's not nagging. That's not criticizing. That's not judging. That's announcing your day of victory starts today. Your day of healing starts today. Your day of visitation is here now. That's preaching. Not news commentary. Not talk show. Preaching, declaring the lordship of Jesus Christ and the defeat of the devil. Now that's good preaching right there. And then healing. I talked to a business owner locally this week and I said, you know, it's so easy to find people that are broken and bring healing to them. What's difficult is find somebody who's broken but successful and bring healing to them. Because they're embarrassed, because in everybody else's eyes in the community, they're successful. What if anybody finds out that I'm hurting? What if anybody finds out I can't handle my marriage? What if anybody finds out I can't handle my children? What if people find out I can't handle my emotions? I got all this money, but I can't sleep at night. I've got all of this notoriety, but I cannot find peace in my own life. I'm going to tell you something today. There's something that every Mainer has in common. Pain. But Jesus said, I have come to bind and the brokenhearted and heal those who are hurting. Jesus' ministry is not entertainment. It's not concerts. It's teaching. It's preaching. And it's healing. Every coat that you give out this year through the 14 different schools that we minister to, every one of them will know that there's a church in Charleston that loves you enough to tell you that this one part of your life that is in pain will take care of it so that you can know that God cares about every other area of pain in your life. Pretty hard to tell people Jesus loves them when they don't know what they're going to eat next. That's why we have a volunteer team that gives out 700 families twice a month. They're giving almost $200 worth of groceries. I'm going to tell you, it's awful easy to tell somebody he'll take care of your pain when we put some bread on their table. Jesus' ministry was teaching, preaching, and healing. Now here's the issue, though. There are churches that do that. They do teach. There are ministries that do preach. There are faith groups that do have healing. But why don't they make an impact? Because if you do the right thing with the wrong heart, you never get the great result. That was a whole lot better. That was a Clarence Isle amen right there. But I'm going to say that again. You can have great teaching, loud preaching, obvious healing, but if you don't have the right heart, you won't have kingdom results. Amen. Now that seemed hypocritical, but I'll take it anyways. I don't care. So what's the heart of Jesus? How do we do Jesus ministry Jesus way? Number one, Jesus sees needs. The Bible says that Jesus saw the people. He's standing on a hillside in overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and he sees people coming from their homes and villages. And they start, as masses of crowds who have heard that Jesus' ministry is here, start traveling from all over the valley to come to be touched and ministered and encountering Jesus Christ. And he sees them. He sees them as sheep. I've seen trained dogs. I've seen trained horses. I've seen trained dolphins. I've never seen trained sheep. Why? Because sheep are stupid. Jesus sees these people like sheep. The Bible says they were weary and scattered, beaten. You know, sheep oftentimes need the shepherd because without one, they get cut up and bruised a lot. Not only do they get cut up, but sheep on their own get tired. Sheep on their own, they don't have a very good sense of gravity, and they tip over easy. Like Malcolm. Just tip over easy. And when a sheep tips over, they have no ability to defend themselves, and any predator can just have their way with them. That's what Jesus sees when he sees people. He sees beyond the outside, and he sees their need. He doesn't see white or black. He doesn't see male or female. He doesn't see Republican or Democrat. He sees needs. I need you to hear this today. When you walked in the building today, Jesus didn't look at your car, and Jesus didn't look at your clothes, and Jesus didn't look at your bank account. Jesus looked at your heart. And if we're going to be the church that does what God saved us and shed his own blood for, we've got to be a people that stop seeing the outward part, and we've got to see the inward part. See, God not only sees the movie of your life, he watches the credits. He saw beyond the fault. Listen here, hear this. You not only have God's attention, you have God's affection. There is this tribe in South Africa, the Northern Natal tribe. And when you and I see each other, you did it today, you walk up to somebody and you say, "How are you?" And you said, "I'm fine. Frustrated, insecure, neurotic, and exhausted." The tribe in South Africa, the Northern Natal tribe, walks up to somebody and they say, "Sawana, Sawubana, Sawubana, Sawubana." That's my African, that's a bit. Sawubana, which is in English, "I see you." When that person who's greeted hears that, they say, "Sikuna, I am here." Watch. They never say Sikuna until someone says Sawubana, because they feel like if I don't have your attention, I don't exist in your life. And so in this tribe in Southern Africa and Northern Natal, they walk up and the first thing they say is, "You did not exist until in my life until I saw you. But now I want you to know I see you. I know you." I'm just telling you that sometimes there are gifts of the Spirit, prophetic. We must not have churches that do not exercise the gifts of the Spirit. And here's one reason why. Because there are thousands of people that think that God doesn't even see them. I'm just telling you, when God is in the midst, he sees people, and people know they're seen. That's why we just can't walk by each other in the aisles here. That's why when somebody's in the parking lot freezing their nose off, and they say, "Hi," you walk up to them and you say, "Hi. Thank you." Somebody's mother didn't teach them manners. You know what? My daughter Macy, our second, I mean, she just turned 20, but she still has this problem. I'm a wonderful father. And I will at times, to torment her and grow her up, ignore her. She will be in the room, and I will not acknowledge that she's there. Just to grow her up. It's a little Ardeen in me. And she'll be sitting at the table, and I'll be eating, and she'll talk, and I won't even acknowledge that she's there. And then I'll say things like this: man, I wish Macy was here today. When do you think Macy's getting home? Wham! She starts hitting me. Wham! And I'll just ignore her. And I'm just telling you, not more than 2 minutes, and she is losing it. And then I, honey, when did you come into the room? Nice, pastor. I'm always throwing that in my face. You know, it's one thing to be raised without a father. It's another thing to be raised with a father in the house that doesn't acknowledge you. And I think there's a lot of people that think that God's around, but he doesn't see them. I've come to tell you, he sees beyond our faults, and he sees our need. And I don't know if you came in here today with all kinds of pain and all kinds of struggles, and you thought you'd be judged, and maybe you just keep thinking you're judged, but I'm going to tell you that God doesn't just see the place that you're falling. He sees the reason that you're falling, and he's not going to judge you by your action. He's going to help you in your intention so that you don't repeat failure, but now you can begin to repeat success. He sees. We must look at people beyond their cross-dressing. We've got to look beyond political stripes. We've got to look beyond church or non-church. Don't just think that everybody that goes to church has got it right either. Hulk Hogan. We ain't all got it right, but we're going the right direction. Come on, somebody. Jesus sees. What do you see when you go to work? What do you see when you go to the ball game? What do you see when you go to school? See a soul. Jesus sees, Jesus feels. The Bible says that when he saw them, he had compassion for them. Compassion. The original word in the Greek, compassion, was not sympathy. He did not go, Oh, that's too bad. Oh. We see commercials of puppies just not taking care of. We go, Right? We see hungry children. We go, That's not the compassion Jesus felt. The compassion that Jesus felt was not mercy. There is a word for mercy, but it's not this word. He did not say, I'll just overlook their problem. It's not sympathy, because people... Sympathy, how many know sympathy can come and sympathy can go? Like you're all about it today, but in 3 weeks you're not all about it. That's sympathy. It's not compassion. It's not mercy. He's not overlooking the fact that they're broken lives because sin breaks lives. The word compassion means to get into the skin of another. Please, somebody hear this. In our comfortable, blessed lives, if we're going to make a difference, we're going to have to be inconvenienced and get to the place where we're willing to feel what people feel. Get in there. Before you preach it so loud and proud, first get in their shoes. I was teaching at the Bible college one year on how to preach. It doesn't seem right, but I was teaching and nobody else would do it. And this guy got up and preached. I said, preach 3 to 5 minutes. Oh, I can't preach 3 to 5 minutes. I'm like, Jesus preached the entire sermon. The most famous sermon of all time was in 10 to 15 minutes. I said, you don't know that much. You can do 3 to 5. You may have to say it twice, actually. And this dude got up and preached a whole sermon on hell with a smile on his face. I almost drop kicked him. I wanted to throat punch him so bad. Throat punch. Gah! Made me so, right word? Upset. You ought not ever talk about hell to somebody where there's not a tear building up in the back of your eyeball that feels, because there's a real hell. We ought to just feel. He felt what they felt, wearied. If you see somebody, child suffering, you, especially if it's your child, a parent, that feeling that you feel when your kids are crying, you feel crying, that's the same thing that Jesus felt for people. He feels it. Do you feel that? There'll be a sober moment in the preaching today. It's okay. It's the last time you ever felt it so strong that you could stop a meal and fast and pray for somebody else. Do you feel that? I think there's so many needs that we can almost get to the point where we don't even feel anything anymore. But do you feel that? Because this is the best way I can illustrate it. Jesus looks at these people and they're all frayed. Let's just take this, that this is the people that Jesus is reaching. This is the people that you and I are called to reach. And they're frayed and pulled apart by sin and by life and by the curse and by people, and dead bad religion has frayed people to disrepair. But on the other end, there's a God who's completely whole. And in between, there's one thing that connects him to those that are afraid. There's one thing that connects the church to those that are afraid. There's one thing that connects the ministry to those that are afraid. And that's compassion. That's compassion. And whether they ever receive it or not is regardless. He gave compassion to people before they gave him membership. He gave them compassion before they ever talked about who they voted for. He gave them compassion. And this one who's whole, to those who will receive, comes and gets involved in their lives and does exactly what the Bible says he would do, to bring liberty to those who are bound and to give life to those who are dying. And what God does is he brings his wholeness and he wraps up all of your frayed life. And he makes it a part of him. So that you no longer see your fray, you see him. And in the joining of your pain and his healing comes a knot that other people can hang on to and say, if God can do it for you, if God could do it for them, then God can do it for me. May this church, like never before, wrap itself up and feel the pain of the lost and rejoice when victory comes to them. Come on. How many are glad that God has called us to a solution and that we can help a dying and a hurting generation? Jesus sees. Jesus feels. I love this part. Jesus knows. Jesus knows that there's a miracle. I was studying out in the woods Wednesday morning. And I was reading Matthew 9 just over and over again. Man, I saw something. Praise God. I saw something. So Jesus sees the people, their beat up sheep, coming to him. I can see some of the disciples like, now this is going to be a lot of work. You know, there are some people you go to church and you say, boy, they must be a lot of work. Come on, laugh a little bit. It might be you. Just go ahead and laugh a little bit. It's going to be a lot of work. This person's going to need a lot. There are people in church that you only need half a pastor to take care of them. There are other people you could hire 8 pastors. It wouldn't be enough. You say, I don't know anybody like that. Might be you. Oh, come on. That was funnier than that. Would you all just... So... You know, some of you are wicked sober today. It's like a Supreme Court hearing. That didn't even move you. Okay. So, he sees all these broken people. In one verse, he says they're broken, tattered, tired people. In the next verse, Jesus says, hey guys, that's a harvest. You could help me preach a little bit today. You could. It's up to you. I mean, the harvest means something. We only have one corn harvest. We only have one potato harvest. But they had several harvests all year long. And the people that Jesus was talking to knew that the harvest was the most valuable thing, and their whole lives centered around the harvest. So when Jesus said harvest, he was saying a booming economy. When Jesus said harvest, he was saying low unemployment. When Jesus was saying harvest, he's saying everybody's taken care of. And in one moment, Jesus sees a bunch of broken outcasts from society, and then he declares and announces, they're not broken and outcast in my kingdom. In your kingdom, they're broken, they're difficult, they're challenged, they're hurting. But in my kingdom, they are the harvest. They are a modern miracle. They are a work in progress. They are a people that are valuable to me. Come on, somebody. In the natural, Jesus sees broken people. But in the spiritual, he sees walking miracles. Where's your child? Are they straying from God? In the natural, they are broken. But God doesn't see them ending that way. God sees them moving into a miracle. Come on, somebody. Your neighbor, your boss, your employees, your spouse, your parent, the people that you've known through life, their life is fraying and falling apart. But I'm going to tell you, don't limit them to where they're at now, but begin to praise God. Your garbage is going to become a great testimony. You're broken, but in God you'll be blessed. Come on. You're overcome, but in Christ you become an overcomer. How many of you are surprised you're in church today? I meet people all the time, and you would say they would never be a church person. I pray, oh God, make them a mighty pillar in the house of God. Jesus knows the miracle. Let's see. Lastly, come on, musicians. Jesus sees, Jesus feels, Jesus knows, and Jesus sends the laborers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Let's see. Let me get some guys up here. Paul and the guy that's with you, why don't you come up? One, two. Anthony and Tim. So sorry. That's four. Come on, Carr. That's five. Alex, that's six. Obar, that's seven. Gordon, that's eight. Carmichael, that's nine. Jim, come on, that's ten. Come on, Jim. Come on, Jim. Yep, you're the only Jim I'm looking at. Slim Jim right there. Somebody say this, the harvest is great. Take your time, Jim. I'm in a rank mood today. My wife's not here, so I feel no limitations. Come on up here. Come on up here. Stand up. Come on. Everybody, up here. Up here. Start shoulder to shoulder. Come on. Let these guys know they're a handsome crew of men right there. That's good. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. So we're told that only 2% of people in Maine are Christian. 2%. I did public school math, so if I'm off, it's not my fault. But I would guess that if 2% claims to be saved, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Then I'm going to make this analogy, that if you left your house where you live today, and went to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 homes, you wouldn't meet a Christian. You'd have to wait till you get to number 9 and number 10. Or have it your way. Maybe you go to the first two homes are Christian, but then you're going to travel to 8 more before you find one that admits it. And if you don't admit it, you ain't one. Watch. Jesus says, the harvest is great. You're the two saved people here because you're the better looking guys. Yeah, right, that's you, Jim. Are you ready? Answer appropriately, because they're the only two saved people. Hi, are you saved?
No.
Hi, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Will you lead your family to Christ? Will you have any hope for eternity? What are you going to do with your sin? Can you have been forgiven? The harvest is not great. The harvest is gigantic. See, you're all depressed because you don't get it. I didn't say broken people are great. I didn't say the number of people that can't make it is growing. I'm telling you, the harvest is great. All we need are some laborers. So one house at a time. One house at a time, I gotta pray. One house at a time, I've gotta care. One house at a time, I gotta pay attention. One house at a time, I gotta look them in the eyes. One house at a time, I've gotta make sure that they're doing okay. One house at a time, I'm gonna build a relationship. One house at a time, I'm gonna make sure that they're okay. One house at a time, I'm gonna make sure they get invited to church. One house at a time, I'm gonna make sure that I'm becoming that person that God has called. I'm not really interested in filling this building, because if it was full, then we would get satisfied. I'm not happy with that. I'm happy with emptying hell and filling heaven, and the harvest is great. Come on, you ought to rejoice. We got the answer. We got the present situation. That's why I'm not the right person for you to complain about living in Maine. I love it. Because this is where the harvest is. This is where the harvest is. You know, let me just show you this, okay? Because we're not a politically childish church, so I can talk without you losing your mind, okay? I love this church. That's why I love it. Watch. In Georgia, I heard this week, they passed a bill, an immigration bill. It didn't happen this week. I just heard about it this week. An immigration bill that would send many of the illegal immigrants that are in Georgia back home. Back home. And they said the effect of that is that there are $140 million worth of fruit and vegetables, produce left in the field that will rot, because they don't have enough laborers. I'm not making a statement about illegal immigration. I'm way above that, actually. Way above that. What I'm telling you is that there is a harvest to be reaped. All it needed was laborers. And I believe that spiritually I can apply it across here, that many of you do not feel like you can do it because you don't feel like you're enough. I've come to tell you, you're not just a legal immigrant. You are a citizen in the kingdom of God. And the blood of Jesus has made you worthy to be a soul winner, a harvest maker. Every one of you is a burning light. Every one of you is a full vessel. Every one of you has been deputized. Come on, come on, come on. I need some sheriffs in town that have been deputized to say, I don't know what you've been through, but I know He helped me. He can help you. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not too broke. You're not too busy. You're not too successful. You're not lacking success. If you have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus, you have a testimony to give. Share it, because there's a harvest waiting to hear about what you got. Your personality will work. Your level of experience will work. Your relationships matter. Because I got a pretty strong idea. All of you know the 8. God is opening up doors for this church like never before. How many believe that the 8 shall become part of the 10? And we will see in our revival in the state of Maine How many believe God will do that? How many believe God will do that? Would you begin to now just thank God for His promise of a harvest? Would you? Lord, I thank you today for the promise of the harvest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maine shall be saved. Amen. Penobscot County shall be saved. Piscataquis County shall be saved. Hancock County shall be saved. Washington County shall be saved. Aroostook County shall be saved. York and Cumberland County shall be saved. Knox County shall be saved. Come on, somebody. I pray, Lord, that there's an outpouring. If you want to start it here, go ahead. But come on, let's pray, church. Lord, let there be an outpouring in the state of Maine like we've never seen before. Let the broken and the hurting and the scarred and the abused and the pushed out and the outcast and those that are always under. Lord, I pray that there'll be a harvest that comes that changes lives, changes homes. Lord, I pray for every church in the state of Maine that preaches the gospel will begin to realize they're part of the laboring force. Revive churches, rebuild churches, ignite churches. Those that don't do it, shut them down. Shut them down so that somebody else can get in there, for time is short. We believe you're coming soon, and we want to see as many people come to you as we possibly can. Let's pray right now. Lord, start with our homes. I want you to begin to call out every unsaved person in your family right now and begin to pray. Lord, save my son. Lord, save my daughter. Lord, save my aunt. Lord, save my uncle. Lord, save my moms. Lord, save my dad. Some of you need to pray, Lord, save my spouse. Save my grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Oh, God, let our house be a light that shines in our community. Oh, God, do it. God, you're not willing that any should perish, and neither are we. God, make this church so on fire. Overfill this church, God, like never before. God, help us to cast aside casual Christianity and help us to embrace the life-giving faith that you have given to us, that we may be a light that shines in one of the darkest areas of this nation. Lord, there's no big eyes and little ears. There's no hot shots here. God, the star of this thing is the church. The star is the team. Oh, mighty God, let tears start dripping off our chins one more time for the lost. One more time, Lord, let us get over our petty setbacks. And may we in time become enamored, Lord, with the reality that you have a promised harvest. Oh, God, I beg of you today to reignite the fire and help us to start seeing people again. Not just our little circle. Open our eyes to see not only what people are going through, but what's going on in their heart. Help us, Lord, to feel. Lord, some of us have been saved so long, we don't remember what it felt like to be hopeless. But help us to feel that supernaturally. God, I pray that we'll become active, that we'll not become pessimists in our day. We become faith-filled people in our day. Lord, I pray for a compassion revolution to take place in this church. God, I'm not looking for us to get fancier. I'm not looking for us to get more modern. God, I want us to become a people of a compassion revolution. Not a compassion like, oh, but God, something that drives us to fight for the beaten. That will cause us to fight for the abused, to cause us to fight for those who've been damaged. God, put a fire within us that says, we'll not rest. Lord, until your light has been shown to every dark corner of this entire state, from Fort Kent to Kittery, from Callis to whatever, Rumford, whatever. Lord, I pray for the state of Maine. I believe, Lord, you put us as a people near the center of it, so we can have a heart for all of it. Lord, give boldness to the people. You know, pardon me, I'm praying for a while. Lord, I pray you'll give a boldness to this people one more time. Come on, does anybody want a boldness? If you want a bold compassion, get up on your feet right now and begin to say, Lord, give me a bold compassion. Come on, give me, Lord, a bold compassion. Give me a bold compassion. Come on, pray with me, gentlemen. Just begin to pray. Lord, give me a bold compassion. God, let me be eaten up, Lord, with a desire for the lost. Come on, come on. Lord, I don't mind. Lord, I'll spend a sleepless night if it means somebody will get saved. Lord, I'll push away some meals if it means somebody will get saved. Come on. Come on, see everybody that says, I want a fire that will not go out. I want a holy boldness that will see beyond the outside. Will have a desire to see a miracle from the inside. Come on, this has got to be one of the most compassionate groups of people I've ever met. Begin to say, Lord, raise my compassion level. Raise my heart for the hurting. Increase my capacity. Lord, let there be such compassion we move from seeing something to doing something. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ. Today's the day to come to Him. Today's the day. He sees you. He sees what you're going through. But He sees beyond what you're going through. He knows why you're going through it. His response to you is genuine love. It's a divine love. It's nothing like what humans try to say. He loves you. It's an unending love. It's a love that you've not gone to the end of. He's reaching out to you. And while you can sense His drawing, this is the day for you to respond. You say, I want to pray that prayer with you today, Pastor. When you pray that prayer, I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want Him to forgive me of my sins. I want to make sure that my name is written in the book of heaven, the Lamb's book of life. When I die, I want to know where I'm going, and I want my family to know. If that's you, raise your hand up nice and high, and then you can put it back down. From the floor to the balcony. From the floor to the balcony. Is there anybody here today that you're not right with God? That if you should die today, where will you be? Where will you be? And do you know? It's time to make a decision. It's time to give your life to Christ. Who is here today? And you say, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to know, and I want everybody I know to know, that I made a decision to serve Him. All right. You can look up this way. I promised you, and I'll continue to do it. I will give an altar call every Sunday. How many believe that God's going to help you to bring somebody that's going to need to respond to that in the name of Jesus Christ? It's not eloquence of words. It's just simple, heartfelt compassion. I want to know who's got a child here that's not serving God. I got time. I got done preaching early because I got time to minister. I want everybody that has a child that says, I want to see them come to Christ. Come stand at this altar with me and I want to pray for you. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for your help. Come quickly if you would. Come quickly if you would. And I'm going to start here and I'll tell you why in a reason. Come right up close. Come right in. Come right in. Come right in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. Excellent. Come on. Come on. Come on. You call him a prodigal. I call him a harvest. You say they've drifted. I say they're coming in. Now, I can minister this message to you probably easier than anybody. And everybody's been receptive today. But your heart, the heart a parent has for a child is unlike a heart. But wouldn't it be awesome if everybody, if our heart for the lost was like our heart for our children? If you're here today and all of your children are serving God, you really ought to be thanking God today. Right? When you go home, maybe you won't get what you want to eat. Maybe you didn't get the best hair day today. But if your kid's serving God, you've got more than all the millions of dollars in the world. These people here would give their lives to have what you have. So be grateful. And now I want the church family to come and just get in around these folks and pray together. We're going to close prayer with it this way. And I want to minister to you in just a moment. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. You say, I can't get... Just get to who you can. Get to who you can. Just get to who you can. Thank you, Lord. You know, I love rooting and tooting, shouting, jumping, leaping. And we'll have one of those tonight. But this is a serious matter. And the gates of hell will not prevail against your home in Jesus' name. That's good. Thank you. Thank you for that response. Those of you in the back there, stretch your hand this way. And I want all of you now in the name of Jesus to take spiritual authority over your home. You know, you can intercede. Abraham changed a city because of intercession. Now you can change your home by prayer. Everybody, let's pray right out loud. Holy Spirit. Come on, there ought to be a depth of prayer here. An urgency right now. We pray for sons and daughters to come home. Pray for sons and daughters to come home. We sow in tears, but we will reap with joy. Lord, help us to feel what our children feel. Help us to see beyond what they're doing. Help us to get in their shoes. And nobody can do that easier than a parent, especially these parents today. We pray together right now. Not one child by the end of this year will have strayed, but by the end of this year, we claim every child, every son, every daughter, every granddaughter, every grandson, every great-grandson in God in the name of Jesus. Oh God, rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing, we pray. God, help us not to be so refined and cool that we can't feel the reality of eternity. Oh, God, move us one more time. Let our hearts be tenderized. Lord, we as parents will reach our children. But God, send other people to reach their children. Send other people, other young people, other adults, other workers, other classmates that are on fire with the Holy Spirit. Lord, send them, we pray. Send them, we pray. And Lord, I pray for the whole church. We all encounter somebody's son. We all encounter somebody's daughter. We all come face to face with somebody's spouse, with somebody's grand, with somebody's parent, with somebody's sibling. Oh, God, help us to be to the lost what we would want done for our children. Oh, God, let us on fire, God. Let there be victory in the name of Jesus. You are mighty to save. God, you are mighty to save. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I think you ought to begin thanking God. Come on, all over this place, I think you ought to begin thanking God. Come on, begin thanking God. Begin thanking God. It's an act of faith, I know, but begin thanking God. Begin to say their name. Shall be saved. They shall be saved in the name. Come on, we're not patty cake prayers in this church. We know how to pray. Come on, enter in with prayer. Praise. May the Holy Spirit right now put words of wisdom, words of knowledge in our hearts. Oh, Ramase. Now begin to pray. Lord, fill my cup. Fill me to overflowing. Make me contagious. Make me infectious. Make me a light. Give me a glory. Give me an anointing. Put something on my life that draws people's attention to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do it, Lord.
like a flood, like a flood, we receive your love when you come.
Like a flood, like a flood, we receive your love when you come.
Like a flood, like a flood. Love when you come like a flood. Oh, like a flood.
We receive your love like a flood.
Like a flood. We receive your love when you come like a flood. Like a flood. We receive your love. And with great anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass.
Come on, somebody.
Let it be done.
It's time.
Every seed buried in sorrow,
come on,
you will call forth in its time.
Do you believe that right there? Come
you
on, do you believe
Lord,
that?
Do you believe the Lord
that God can save
anybody? The
harvest, sing that one again.
Calling
did you see that?
Hope.
Come on, the seed now is going to produce a harvest. Somebody ought to thank God. Sing
every
it again.
Seed
come on, thank
buried
God.
In sorrow.
Come on, thank God. There's an imperishable seed. God's fighting for your children. God's fighting for your family. God's fighting for us. Come on, somebody.
Lord,
let's rejoice. Thank God.
Calling
He's going to do it. The devil is defeated.
Now to
come. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
We receive your reign.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
glory
yeah.
to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
We receive your reign. Like a flood, we receive your love when you come. Like a flood, we receive your love when you come. Like a flood, we receive your love when you come. Like a flood, like a flood, we receive your love. And with great anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass.
Somebody give him praise.
Let it be
come on,
done.
Somebody give him praise. Hey, somebody praise him.
We receive your reign. Oh, we
yes,
receive
Lord.
Your
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We receive your reign.
Praise God. Praise God. Paul told us the scriptures. We look at people. Such were some of you, he said. Now, don't raise your hand yet. In fact, I want to read this to you. Let me just... I got 2 minutes to do it because I respect your time. Don't raise your hand. I want to know. I wrote it down. I didn't have time to preach. That's a whole nother message. How many were addicted to drugs? Don't raise your hand. How many were alcoholics? How many were in sexual sin? How many ever lied? How many ever cussed? How many ever unforgiveness? How many of you ever stole anything? Now, nobody's going to know which one of those you did. You got to protect the people. How many could say, I've done one of those? Raise your hand. Oh my goodness. I'm just the exact opposite reaction you ought to have. That's awesome. One more time. You said I was one of those. Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I was one of them. I'm raising my hand. I was one of them. You put your hand down. Now with the other hand, how many of you say, I was one of them, but I'm not that anymore? With the other hand, come on. Ah, take that, devil. Boom. You just throat punched the devil right there. I was that, but I am not that. Isn't that awesome? I was that, but I'm not that anymore. Watch, watch. Then if God could take you from I was that, but I'm not that, then why can't God take people who are that and make them not that? And let me just end with this real quick. When we bring people into the church, we must know the difference between people being weak and people being wicked. This deserves a whole message, but I need to say it before I let you go, and I will let you go, I promise. But they pulled the woman caught in the act of adultery into the church, and the judgmental people in the church treated her like she was wicked, but Jesus treated her like she was weak. And if we treat wicked people like they're weak, they will take advantage of us. And if we treat weak people like they're wicked, we'll destroy them. I'm preaching to parents right now. There's a difference between your child being weak and your child being wicked. And if your child is simply weak, but you treat them like they're wicked, you will crush them. But what Jesus did was take a woman and realize she wasn't wicked, she was just weak. And he gave her her life back. So let's know the difference between wicked and weak people. And let's look at people for what they are. And most of the people you encounter are weak. They're just struggling. Let's not look down on them. Let's embrace them, love them, and just tell them, there's boundaries, but I love you just the same. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the heart you've put in. This is a different service, Lord, and I'm okay with that, because we're talking about people's lives, families, homes being changed. I pray for the precious people in this church. I love them. You love them. We love our community. Help us, Lord. We're always growing. Help us to become more like you. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Let somebody know you love them before you go. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. Have a great day.